Unworthy am I of the grace that he gave. Unworthy to hold to his hand. Amazed that a king would reach down to a slave. This love I cannot understand. My sorrow and sickness laid stripes on his back. My sins caused the blood that was shed. My faults and my failures have woven a crown of thorns that were worn on his head. Unworthy, unworthy, a beggar in bondage and alone, but he made me worthy, and now by his grace his has made me his own. Unworthy am I of the glory to come. Unworthy with the angels to sing. I thrill just to know that he loved me so much. A pauper, but now I walk with the King. Unworthy, unworthy, a beggar in bondage and alone, but he made me worthy, and now by his grace, his mercy has made me his own. Yes, his mercy has made me his own.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Ingram. Boy, we've had such a good song service this morning. We could almost pray and go to the house, couldn't we? Man, it's been good. Man from got up here and called Brother Selly up, and he preached a message in his prayer, so we've already got preaching. And so we sing, and man, we're about ready to pray and have an invitation, right? It's been good. I hope that you enjoy coming to the house of God. I love coming to church and being around the people of God and feel the Spirit of God, don't you? I enjoy that. Take your Bibles this morning, Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter number 18. While you're turning there, I'm going to give you just a quick, brief synopsis of the few verses that precede the beginning of our reading in Genesis 18, verse number 9. In the first eight verses, Abraham is approached by a group of men that we know later are angels, and they have come to basically pronounce judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham fixes them a meal, and as they sit down to that meal, they begin to discuss some things around that meal. And I want to pick up our reading in verse number 9 here. If you'd like to stand with me, please, out of love and respect for the Word of God. Abraham, when he saw these men, which we know later to be angels of God, fell down and worshiped them. You say, wait a minute, now how are we going to know the supernatural? How are we going to recognize Jesus when we see? You won't have a problem. Abraham didn't have a problem realizing these people, these men are not your average men down the street. And so as they sat and they began to discuss a matter with Abraham, because God had promised Abraham a seed. Amen? And so he sent, and they began to have a discussion in verse 9, and they said unto him, they being the men, said unto Abraham, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Now, let me stop. For those of you that may not be familiar, Sarah is barren. She can't bear children. And yet these men are telling Abraham she's going to bear a son. Now listen to what else it says. It says, Sarah, thy wife, will have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Not only is she barren, it was basically because of age. She had gone through the process to where it was basically, humanly speaking, impossible for her to have a child. And verse 12, and by the way, Sarah knew this. But I want you to notice verse 12, that's our text verse. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. For she was afraid. And that's kind of a fleshly response. When we get afraid, sometimes what comes out of our mouth isn't always the truth, because we're afraid. And then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. You did laugh. And I want to take these verses this morning, and I want to preach to you on this thought. It's no laughing matter. It's no laughing matter. Sarah overheard the news that she was going to have a son. Now, we knew that it was going to come to pass because God had already promised him that he would have us, that his seed would be carried on. And Sarah overheard that it was going to be her that would bear Abraham a son. She said, well, first of all, I'm past childbearing years, and second of all, I'm barren. Now, how can this be? And yet the scripture says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Can he not open the barren womb? Can he not open the womb and she bear a son? And when she heard this, the scripture said in verse 12 that Sarah laughed within herself. She didn't laugh out loud. She laughed inside. And I'm afraid we've got too many people under the sound of my voice. You're not laughing out at the things of God out loud, but you're laughing inside. Because it said she laughed within herself. And God said, yay, but you did laugh. You did laugh. And I want to preach to you on that thought. It's no laughing matter with God. Father, would you bless us now, teach us now, we pray. And we thank you, Father, that you might have your way in hearts and lives today. And I pray that you take this preacher and hide me behind the cross of Christ. That, Father, that today these dear people might see the glory of Jesus Christ shining through the teaching and preaching of your word. And would you help us now this morning? Oh, Spirit of God, open our spirit that we might receive your preaching and your teaching this morning. And we'll be careful to give all the glory and praise to thee. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated. You know, laughter is a very unique emotion that we experience. Anybody here like laughing? You like laughing? I enjoy laughing. And, you know, what makes laughter so unique is that it comes in so many different forms. You ever notice that? Laughter comes in so many different forms, such as there's joyful laughter. You ever been to the airport and see people get off the plane? They go, and they go and hug, and they're just laughing, and that's joyful laughter. They haven't seen each other long, and they're laughing joyfully with each other. Then there's hilarious laughter. That's after we've listened to clean jokes. Amen? Clean jokes, funny things happen, there's hilarious laughter. And it's a little bit different than joyful laughter. Joyful laughter is, oh, I haven't seen you in such a long time. Hilarious laughter is when a joke is, ha, 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 ha. Okay? Big difference, right? That's hilarious laughter. Then sometimes there's what I call releasing laughter. I've had to do way too many funerals that I've having to do those. If you've ever been to a funeral and you've seen a person that's lost a loved one, they've cried so much they can't cry anymore. And I've literally seen them laugh. Have you ever seen that? You know what that is? That's a release. They're releasing the stress. They're releasing the pain. And laughter is a release to them. But then there's another laughter that I call induced laughter. And I don't like this kind because this one comes about by tickling. Now I have a 6-year-old granddaughter and she is ticklish. Listen, she starts laughing as I just start coming toward her. She starts laughing. But you know, tickling her feet and tickling her under, oh boy, I mean, she can hackle. I mean, just go to town laughing. Now that type of laughter is that uncontrollable laughter. You know, okay, totally different. Then there's another type of laughter that I call the courtesy laughter. You ever seen that? That's the kind when you're watching these really dry things on TV and they induce laughter hoping you'll laugh with them. Courtesy laughter is that kind of confused laughter. You know, it's like, you're not sure what they mean and you're not sure whether they're telling the truth or not, so you give that courtesy laughter. But then there is that laughter that I call indifferent laughter. When you go maybe and you're trying to witness to someone about Christ, or maybe you're trying to teach someone something out of the Bible, or maybe you've got a family or a friend on your job that you're trying to talk about Christ or give the gospel to, and that laughter is, you got to be kidding me. That's indifferent laughter. Can I say something to you? That the previous 5 nights, that wasn't what Sarah was doing. It wasn't joyful laughter. It wasn't hilarious laughter. It wasn't induced laughter. You know what it was? It was indifferent laughter. It was like, you got to be kidding me. That's, you say, well, that, I can't believe that she did that. Well, I can't believe some of the things that people of God laugh at either. But you know that doctors, medical doctors tell us that certain types of laughter can actually be very healthy for you? I don't think indifferent laughter or necessarily courtesy laughter is, but a lot of forms of laughter that I've mentioned today can be actually beneficial to your health. You know, they tell us that when you laugh and it's a good type of laughter, joyful, hilarious, maybe even induced laughter, that what it literally does, it literally dilates the inner lining of blood vessels so that blood can flow more freely. So it's actually healthy to laugh. I like laughing. You see, laughter also has been reported to relieve stress and pain and physical pain and promote a stronger immune system. So you know what? I'm all for laughter, right? I want to be healthy. You see, there are some proper forms of healthy laughter, and I think, folks, this morning that we need to participate in some laughter. I think there are some things that are okay to laugh at. First of all, I think sometimes we need to laugh at ourselves. See, some of us think that we're just at a point to where we're almost to a place where we don't make no mistakes. We need to laugh at ourselves. Hey, we need to loosen up and get out of this attitude that everybody's out to get you. Nobody cares about that. Listen, just laugh a little bit. You ever known people that have that mentality that the world's out to get them and the world don't even know them? But they have that mentality. Learn to laugh at yourself. My wife and I laugh at ourselves each time. She laughs at me, I laugh at her. And this just recently happened. Now listen, you think, no, preacher, you heard that in a story. No, I kid. This really happened. Now my wife has been blessed with a very large head of hair. And she, both of I have glasses, and she had her glasses, and they were literally stuck on her head, and they just kind of disappeared into her hair. And she was looking around, and for something, I said, honey, what are you looking for? She said, I laid my glasses around here somewhere. I know they're here somewhere. And about that time, I saw her walk under the light, and I saw this little reflection go, whoop, whoop. And I walked over there, and there they are. You know what I'm? You don't know what I'm talking about, Ms. Romero? Has that ever happened to you? They're on her head. That's happened to some of us. Hey, loosen up. Laugh at yourself. Hey, it's okay to laugh with others over God's blessings. Hey, just praising God. Listen, you know what? I love to hear when people give testimony of God's blessings. I love rejoicing with them. It's okay to laugh over God's blessings. It's okay to laugh in the knowledge of God's promises about what He has for the child of God in the future. You know what? I enjoy laughing over. You know what? Glory to God. I'm going to be immortal one day. I'm going to be incorruptible one day. Glory to God. I like that, don't you? I like looking forward to that day that I don't have to deal with these types of problems, physical problems that we have today. It's okay to laugh at God's promises and His future. Hey, it's okay to laugh in the fact that God would even consider using you and I for any reason and for any manner. You ever thought about that? I've laughed at, Lord, are you using me? I can't believe it. But it's a healthy laughter. It's okay. You see, I just believe that this type of joyful laughter promotes healthy Christian life. Oh, by the way, I think it also promotes a healthy church. To laugh, it's okay. We come to church and we're like, shh. Hey, it's okay to laugh. I believe it promotes healthy Christians and a healthy body of believers. But may I say to you this morning, however, I also believe that there are some things that are no laughing matter. How would you respond to someone that maybe laughed out loud at someone's other misfortune or someone else's hurts or injuries? Would you be insulted with that? Somebody laugh at your misfortunes and hurts? How would you feel if somebody laughed out loud at a funeral over someone's death? You'd be appalled. What would you think if somebody laughed at another's failures and flaws or laughed at someone because of their physical infirmity or handicap? You'd say, that's ridiculous. You'd be outraged, wouldn't you? Somebody'd almost have to tie you down. You'd be so upset. You'd be appalled. You'd be outraged. You'd think to yourself, I can't believe that person is so indifferent that they would laugh under these circumstances. Yet, our God in heaven is confronted with indifferent laughter every day. Not vocally, not verbally, but inside. He is confronted with that every day that we live by the people that He created and provided salvation for in Jesus Christ. And may I say to you this morning, dear people, that I would never, you say, oh, preacher, I'd never laugh out loud at God. Well, you may not never ever laugh out at God, and neither did Sarah, by the way. She laughed within herself. You say, oh, preacher, that's different. I can laugh inside at somebody or something. Well, can I remind you that God sees upon the heart? And whether you laugh out loud or whether you laugh within yourself, it's the same. And God views it the same. You see, Sarah laughed out loud, but within herself. She mocked her God with laughter in her spirit, not necessarily laughter with her mouth. And can I say to you, church, that when Sarah was convicted about her laughter, you know what she did? She denied it. Well, I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh. And the Lord said, oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, you laughed. You laughed at what the promise of God is. You laughed within yourself. And listen to me. In other words, God says, what I said is no laughing matter, ma'am. No laughing matter. And I want to take that thought this morning for just a few moments that we have. And I want to talk to you this morning, folks, about there's some things that are no laughing matter. They are no laughing matter. The first thing I find in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Would you turn there with me, please? In Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, I want to say, first of all, that a believer's responsibility to the gospel is no laughing matter. The believer's responsibility to the gospel is no laughing matter. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, you'll recognize it once you get there. Paul, writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You're looking at a preacher, but you're also looking at a Christian here today that I don't take my responsibility to the gospel as a laughing matter. It's no laughing matter with me. God has given you and given me the privilege and the truth to share with the rest of the world. It's no laughing matter with me. That's the reason it's important, dear church, listen, that we get the gospel out to everybody that we possibly can. That we get the truth of Jesus Christ to our neighbors, to our co-laborers and co-workers, and to our family members. There's a responsibility to the gospel. I want to say to you, first of all, this morning, do you know this is personal with God? It's personal. This matter of getting the gospel is personal with God. Because listen, when He commanded us, He said, go ye into all the world. That's pretty personal. Now, wait a minute, you say, oh, preacher, he's talking about the church. Well, guess what? Did you know one person's not the church? The church is the members collectively. So when He said, go ye, church, He said, go ye individually. That's personal. And you know what? That's no laughing matter, folks. That's no laughing matter with God. It's personal with God. I want to say not only is it personal, God, it's priority with God. It's personal, but it's priority, my friend. He didn't send Jesus to this earth for no reason. He sent Him here to come to seek and to save that which was lost. To be nailed on an old rugged cross and there become sin for you and I. God the Father turned His back on Him. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? I said it's personal with God, but it's priority with God. Our responsibility to the gospel is no laughing matter. And may I say to you, child of God, this morning, you may not be laughing outwardly, but some are mocking God and laughing inwardly. You say, oh, preacher, that don't work no more. That don't work. Okay, well then, would you tell me what does work? If the gospel doesn't work, then what does? What's going to get people saved? Hey, the Word of God, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. There is no other way. It's the Word. It's the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection. It's personal with God and it's priority with God. And then let me say one more thing about this and I'll move on. It is possible with God. It's possible. See, the reason that people say, well, preaching don't work anymore is because they're trying to work it themselves. Why don't we just go ahead and let the Holy Ghost work it? Why don't we just go ahead and be the mouthpiece? Why don't we just volunteer and surrender our feet, our hands, our mouth, our mind, our eyes, and let the Holy Ghost take over from there? And all we got to do is just go give the gospel to somebody and let Him work the plan. You say, the plan don't work. It's because you're trying to work it. How about let the Holy Ghost work it through you? You see, I'm just saying to you, giving the gospel, my friend, is no laughing matter. Take your Bible, if you would, and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go to 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 4. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 4. This is why I say that the responsibility to the gospel is no laughing matter. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 4, look at it. But as we were allowed of God, listen now, to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who trieth our heart. Kind of sounds to me that He's entrusted me with the gospel, and one of these days I'm going to look at Him face to face. I'm going to give account for being entrusted with the gospel. Can you believe that a God in heaven would trust us with the truth? I don't even trust myself sometimes. And God is given His holy word. The message of eternal life belongs in your hands. And He puts it in your hands. Listen to me, folks. It's a responsibility and it's no laughing matter. No laughing matter. Yet some, we go knock doors and talk to people, try to evangelize. Some may not laugh out loud with their lips, but they laugh in their heart. You see, it's no laughing matter. The gospel has been put in trust to us. I want to say number two. If you go back to Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 12. Go back to Genesis 18 verse 12, our text verse. I said, first of all, a believer's responsibility to the gospel is no laughing matter. I want to say number two, our indifference to God's ability is no laughing matter. Our indifference to God's abilities is no laughing matter. The word comes, Sarah will bear a child, barren and beyond childbearing years. So she had two strikes. So humanly speaking, what would you conclude? No way. There's no way. And then comes the word, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything? You see, sometimes we forget who created us. Sometimes we forget who's in charge over us. Sometimes we forget that all power belongs to Him in heaven and in earth. It all belongs to Him. And so the word comes that she would bear a child in her old age. In verse 12 it says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself. That's that indifference laugh I was talking about. That laughing at the ability of God. You see, Sarah laughed at God's ability to open her womb and give her a son. She's like a lot of us. She said she believed, but you know something? Her faith was put to the test. You know, we come to church and we give God a lot of lip service, but what if your faith is put to the test today? Would you laugh? Would you say, no. Now, this can't possibly happen. Well, humanly speaking, you're right. But then when you start moving into the divine area, when you start moving into the supernatural areas and the spiritual areas of life, it's all possible with God then. Because we're not talking about the same ground anymore. We're not talking about the same setting anymore. We're moving into the divine, the supernatural. You see, she questioned God's abilities. And I think some here this morning, you may be questioning God. You may be having that indifferent laughter at God's ability. You say, oh, preacher, not me. Well, let me ask you this. Some this morning may be laughing in their heart by questioning His ability to love us. You hear what I said? I said some are laughing within themselves about God's ability to love us. You say, oh, preacher, I believe God loves everybody. And so do I, but you know not everybody believes that. Matter of fact, did you know I just met somebody yesterday while I was out door knocking, talking, and you know what? They looked square at me in the face and said, God don't love me. I said, well, I don't understand. What do you mean God doesn't love you? Well, this is what I've done. Stop. Do you understand most of the world grades God's love based on how good or how bad they are? They don't grade it on God's consistency. Do you know the scripture says God is love? His greatest attribute. And yet people question, they laugh, oh, preacher, you don't say, God couldn't love me. God couldn't love me. I'm here to tell you, yeah, He can. Yeah, He can. And He does. He loves you. Why? Because He created you. He gave you life. He wants your life to bring honor and glory to Him. So some this morning are questioning God's ability to love us. Some may be questioning God's ability this morning to forgive us. To forgive us. I've been talking to people for 20-something years about the Lord. But none hit home more than years ago when I had the opportunity in my own home to lead my father to Christ. And as I opened my scriptures and I began to witness to my dad, and he knew all the major things, so I just kind of cut to the quick. You ever done that? I said, they knew all the stuff, so what I did is I just got to the point. And right out of my dad's mouth at that time, I think he was about in his 60s, early 60s, mid 60s, something like that. Right out of his mouth, he told me, he said, son, God can't save me. God wouldn't forgive me. He said, son, you don't understand all the things I did. And I looked at my dad, tears running down his face and my face. I said, I've got some good news. I don't have to understand all that you've done. I don't have to understand what you've done. I don't have to understand all the past. All I know is what's happening right now. And there's a God in heaven that loves you and can forgive you. It doesn't matter what you've done. No matter. You say, oh, but preacher, but this, I did this. Doesn't matter. You say, oh, preacher, but I've done this. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how far into the hog pen you've been. It doesn't matter how filthy you've been. God's willing to forgive you, save you, and clean your life. We've got some here this morning that are laughing inside. They're saying, God wouldn't forgive me. God wouldn't love me. But there might be some others here today that say, you know what? We question God's ability to change us. So, preacher, I've just been this way all my life. I just don't know if I can change. Well, you can on your own. But you come this morning to Jesus, you know what? What comes inside is a general contractor that comes into your life and begins to clean you up from the inside out. Listen to me. Here's something you got to understand. Christianity has never been designed to clean from the outside in. Never! It's always been designed to clean from the inside out. And let me say something to believers here this morning. You got to get it. We got to get it through our thick head. All right? And you're looking at a preacher that's got a thick one. But we got to get it through our head. When we win people to Christ and we talk to people and we try to help them, you're a nut if you try to work from the outside in. It's never designed that way. It's always to work from the inside out. Listen to me. Think about how you were dealt with in your life. You know why you're here today? Because somebody dealt with you from the inside out. That's what it is. It takes time. But some question God's ability to love us and to forgive us and His ability to change us. I just want to say to you this morning, God takes exception to His omnipotence, His power being called into question. Yeah. Can I say to you, in Genesis 18, did you know He took exception of it with Sarah? And then when she got called on the carpet, you know what she did? Oh, I didn't do it, but she's afraid. Oh, I know, that wasn't me. It must have been somebody else. Ain't nobody else here. Well, you must have been hearing voices. It wasn't mine. Oh, yeah, I heard it loud and clear in your heart. You see, you may not be laughing out loud at God's power and His ability to heal, His ability to save, His ability to forgive, His ability to love, His ability to change. You may not be laughing outward about it, but let me tell you something. Somebody's in here is laughing inside about it. So, oh, preacher, He couldn't forgive me. I'm telling you, He can. And can I say, He will. He will. Let me say thirdly. I said, first of all, believers' responsibility to the gospel, no laughing matter. Our indifference to God's abilities, no laughing matter. I want to say number three, our attitude toward hell is no laughing matter. I'm appalled. Appalled at people that call themselves believers. They say, oh, preacher, you got it all wrong. Hell's just... It's just a grave. You just go there and that's where you say, it's just a grave, preacher. Or hell is just some kind of state of conscious mental anguish. Oh, it's just tormenting your mind, preacher. Or hell is just some separation from God. May I say to you that when Jesus spoke of hell, He spoke about it with a broken heart and a plea for people to change their direction. Now you're looking at a preacher right here, and I want you to listen very carefully. You're looking at a preacher, hell is no laughing matter to me. You say, why, preacher? Because I've got family members that are there. So don't be coming around me and laughing about hell. You're going to stir me up. Because I got a grandma and grandpa that's there today. Died before I was, right before all of my grandparents were dead by the time I was 8 years old. I didn't even know the Lord, didn't have a chance to witness to them. Talking to relatives and stuff. My grandparents were rough people. Rough people. The best I can tell, my grandparents are without God today in a burning hell. It's no laughing matter to me. Some of you likewise have loved ones there. Some of you have friends there. Can I say to you, I bet you don't go talk to them because it ain't no laughing matter to you, is it? It's no laughing matter to me. Can I say to you this morning, listen to me, hell is a real place. We don't have time. You can go read it on your own in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31. Let me tell you something. If hell's the grave, that old rich man was on fire in his casket. He said he was being tormented in this flame. And for those of you that may be new to the Bible, I want to set the record straight. Luke 16, 19, 31 is not a parable. Because you know what he did? He used names in this one. When you go use, when you go see the parable, Jesus would give you a broad perspective here. But he called names. He said there was a rich man and a man named Lazarus. You see, hell's a real place. I'm here to tell you today that not only is hell a real place, hell is enlarging itself even as I speak. According to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 14, it's enlarging itself. I had somebody ask me one time, preacher, hell can't possibly be a real place. How can all these people that are going there fit into hell? I said, well, first of all, do you know how big it is? No. They said, well, preacher, do you know how big it is? I said, I certainly do. They said, well, does the Bible say how big it is? It certainly does. He said, preacher, how big is hell? It's bigger today than it was yesterday. Because you know what? It just expands as people come in. It expands. You see, not only is it a real place, hell's enlarging itself by people dying and going to hell. Why? Because people, God's people, take the responsibility of the gospel as a laughing matter. It's not a laughing matter. They take God's ability as a laughing matter. And their attitude toward hell to so many, it's a laughing matter. I'm here to tell you it's a real place. It's an enlarging place. Listen to me, it's an eternal place. You understand what I'm saying? It's an eternal place. Do you understand that my grandma and grandpa will never get out? Ever. That's how bad it is. It's a terrible place. You say, preacher, what are you going to do? I can't do anything. They died without Jesus. They died without God. They died without maybe somebody ever talking to them about their soul. You see, it's a real place. It's an enlarging place. Listen to me. It's a forever. It's an eternal place. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23 or 7 and verse 23 that one day the lost without God would hear these words, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." Can you imagine those words? You see, people laugh at death. People play with death. But let me tell you something, my friend. Death without Jesus is hell forever. It's forever. And you're looking at a preacher, it's no laughing matter with me. No laughing matter to me. Because I've got family and friends there that will never get out. Let me say one last thing. Turn, if you would, let me show you this one real quick. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Let me show you one more. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. If you're familiar with your Bible, you'll recognize it once you get there. Hebrews 9, 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die." Now listen, "but after this, the judgment." After this, the judgment. I said our responsibility to the gospel is no laughing matter. I said God's abilities and indifference to God's abilities, no laughing matter. Our attitude toward hell is no laughing matter. And I want to say in conclusion this morning, listen to me carefully. Our standing before God is no laughing matter. Our standing before God is no laughing matter. It's appointed unto man once, men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Believers will stand one day. A child of God one day is going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to give an account, child of God, for the works done in this body, whether they be good or bad. You're going to face the Son of God, your judge, and you will give an account about your responsibility to the gospel. You will give an account that day about your indifference to God's abilities. You will give an account about how you felt and your attitude toward hell. But you know something? I just want to know. Our standing, or let you know, our standing before God is no laughing matter. You know, when I got up this morning, I came to the office this morning very early to pray. And I always come and read my Bible and pray and have some devotion time with the Lord. And you know, I knew what I was going to preach this morning. And you know, the Spirit of God convicted me. And I spent time evaluating myself. Where am I in before God today? Where am I? How do I stand before God? It's no laughing matter. Can I say to those this morning that know not Jesus, and you're an unbeliever, you likewise will stand before God one day, but you'll stand at a different throne called the Great White Throne. And on that throne, you likewise will be judged according to the deeds done in this body, good or bad. I'm just asking you, where do you stand with God right now? Are you satisfied with taking a chance with your soul? Are you satisfied leaving this building having some question about your eternal destiny? Are you satisfied leaving, taking a chance of where you're going to die and go to? It's no laughing matter. Because after death, the judgment. You have an appointment with your God. That appointment, if you're a child of God, one day will be at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're here without Jesus, you have an appointment with God. If you die without Christ, that appointment will be held at a great white throne where you will look at the Creator of all mankind and look at Him square in the face, and you will give it an explanation about why you didn't come and trust His Son Jesus. Why did you laugh at the shed blood of Christ? Why did you laugh at the cross? Why did you laugh at that preacher? Why did you laugh at my word? You're going to have nothing to say. You'll have no foundation to stand on. You may have laughed all your life at the gospel. You may have laughed at God's abilities. You may have laughed at hell. Let me tell you something, my friend. When God the Creator looks you in the face, it's not going to be laughing time then. Not going to laugh then. I just want to know this morning, if you're here without Jesus, are you satisfied taking a chance with your soul? And then, Christian, are you satisfied by just being saved? Are you just satisfied? You say, oh, preacher, I'm just happy being saved. You know, I've had people tell me that all the time. I'm just happy being saved. Well, I'm happy being saved too. But I got a command from God. I've got a responsibility according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I got a responsibility. I got the gospel. No laughing matter. There's a real hell. People are dying and going. They say, Lord, I got a responsibility. It's no laughing matter. There's a God in heaven that has great abilities. He can forgive. He can love. He can change. It's no laughing matter. I just ask you this morning, how do you stand with your God? Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one moving around. This is a very important time in our invitation. How many can say this morning, preacher, I'm a child of God. I'm a born-again believer. I'm a Christian. No question about it. If I die today, going to heaven. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, I'm not afraid to just raise my hand as a testimony. I am a child of God. Preacher, no question about it. If I died, I'd go to heaven. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. Father, I'm going to say probably 95% of the hands were raised this morning. There were a few that couldn't raise their hand. Maybe there's some doubt there. Maybe they didn't understand the question. Whatever it may be, I pray, Lord God, that you would help them today. And would you, Father, take my voice and let it become a voice, Lord, of warning to those who could not raise their hand. I'm glad that so many could. But Father, I wonder how many of those that raised their hand and said they're a Christian and they're a child of God. I wonder, Father, that in their heart, they're laughing at the gospel because they're not giving it out. They're not trying to get people saved. I wonder if their heart, they're laughing at God's abilities and your ability to love and change and save and forget. I wonder if they're laughing at that. I wonder if there might be some here today that are laughing at hell and say, preacher, I don't believe it's a real place. The Bible says it is. And people die and go to hell there. And I ask you, Father, please, that you'd move in this invitation for those who need Jesus, that they would come. Because it's no laughing matter. We're talking about their soul. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. When I had hands raised just a moment ago, there were three or four or five that couldn't raise their hand. With your head bowed and eyes closed, I want you to listen to me. I don't want you to die without Christ. It's not a laughing matter. This is important. It's your soul. You have one. You can't afford to face death with uncertainties about it. I wonder if there are those four or five that couldn't raise their hand this morning. If you'd say, preacher, would you pray for me? I don't know for sure if I die to go to heaven, but I want to. It's not that I don't want to, preacher. I have some doubts about it. I'm just not sure. Would you let me pray for you? Don't be afraid. Nobody's looking but me. I'm concerned about your soul. How many would let me pray for you? If you would, just slip your hand up. You can slip it right back down. Just slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. Just slip it up. Slip it right back down. God bless you. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it right back down. Anybody else like that will join this one. God bless you. Who will join these two? Say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I die to go to heaven. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else who will join these three? Anybody else? Just slip it up. Slip it up. I'll pray for you. Anybody else? All right, maybe you're here this morning and say, "Preacher, I'm already saved, but never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. I know the Bible teaches it. I know about it, but just for whatever reason, preacher, I just never followed through with it. I know it's the right thing to do. Pray for me. I need to take care of that bit of business for God in my life." And you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me." Won't you slip your hand way up high? Say, "That's me. I've already been saved, never been baptized, preacher. Pray for me." God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else will join this one? Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. I'll pray for you. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right? Maybe the rest of us here, the majority here that are believers, how many would be honest and say, "Preacher, I haven't been fulfilling my responsibility to the gospel. And there may be some areas in my life that I hadn't laughed out loud, but when God revealed some things to me, I kind of snickered in my heart." Maybe you laughed it and were indifferent to the abilities of God. How many would say, "Preacher, that kind of hit home with me today. The message kind of came into my living room this morning. Kind of came into my house. Kind of came into my private life this morning." How many would say, "Preacher, I haven't been fulfilling my responsibility in some of these areas. Though I haven't laughed out loud, but maybe you've kind of snickered in your heart. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You say, "Preacher, pray for me." That's me. Won't you slip your hand way up high? Just slip it up, 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 slip it up. God bless you. All over, all over, all over. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, my prayer this morning for these dear people is that your will be done. Some need to come to be saved. Some need to come to get baptized. Some need to come, Lord, and whatever's going on in their heart this morning about a laughing matter, whatever it may be. Maybe they were like Sarah. They heard the word. They heard the truth. Maybe they snickered at it because they didn't believe it. Father, would you help our unbelief this morning? Would you help us as believers to do your will and to walk the straight and narrow way, to be a better witness, to be a better testimony? Father, people are dying, going to hell. We've got to be able to reach them. We have such a short window of opportunity. Please help us this morning. And then, Father, for those that need Jesus, let them come. Please. Please help them, Lord God, not to take a chance with their soul. And we give all the glory and praise to you for this invitation time. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix if he would begin to sing. And as he does, you come. This is your opportunity. You come. If you raise your hand, say, "Preacher, I need the Lord." Mamas, if you have a child that raised their hand and they're old enough to come, would you bring them? Would you bring them? We'll talk to them about their soul. We'll make sure that they understand how to be saved. You come on. Come on. Some raised their hand, said they need to be baptized. Would you come this morning? Would you come? Come on. Come on. Don't take a chance. Don't take a chance with your soul. You come on. Come on. Somebody said, "Preacher, I haven't laughed out loud at God, but I've kind of snickered at some things that He wants to do in my life. Maybe God's speaking to you. Maybe God's calling you. Maybe God's doing something in your life, and you snickered. Yeah, you snickered a little bit at it. Would you come and ask God to forgive you this morning and answer that call?